Hi there, and welcome to another edition of the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Ost for Sun Sounds. I've got two stories coming up this hour. The first one is from True Love magazine called Born on Father's Day. Here's the story. Ryan didn't say anything, but the look on his face was undeniable. He had no interest in being a father. I didn't blame him. Motherhood hadn't been exactly how I planned to kick off my senior year of high school either. Not once had my dreams of prom or graduation involved wearing a maternity dress or waddling across stage for my diploma, but like it or not, it happened. I was pregnant and I was having this baby no matter what. The only thing left for him to decide was whether or not he was going to be a man and step up to the responsibility. It wasn't looking good. "Aren't you going to say something?" By this point, I was fairly certain I wouldn't want to hear anything he had to say. But if I kept quiet, we'd stare at each other in silence until we were late for class. Ryan's jaw tightened, and he swallowed hard before speaking. "What do you want me to say, Brooke?" Just the reaction every girl dreams of hearing. I hadn't started off my senior year looking for a boyfriend. I dated one boy for part of my sophomore and all of my junior years. He'd graduated and moved away to college, leaving me on my own. I was okay with that. I was looking forward to starting my senior year free to do what I wanted. That included dating several different guys to see what was out there. I didn't want to be the girl who dated one boy in high school, married him, and never knew what other options I had. Within a few weeks of school starting, a pep rally was held before the first varsity football game of the season. I played cab clarinet in the marching band, so I was at every game, like it or not. Ryan was a drummer. The drum section was made up of the band superstars. They were all handsome, talented, and grand showmen. The tuba and trombone guys hated them. The flute and clarinet girls lusted over them. Unfortunately, as the band social hierarchy dictated, the horn and the percussion sections didn't fraternize. I'd always had my eye on him, but never pursued it. The first game was a victory for our school, and the starting quarterback invited everyone to his house for a party. 200 kids descended en masse to the quiet residential neighborhood. It didn't take long for me to get separated from my herd. My best friends Carolyn and Vanessa were nowhere to be seen. The house was hot, loud, and way too crowded, so I made for the backyard and found a secluded gazebo with a bench. To my surprise, the gazebo wasn't entirely deserted, just too dark for me to see Ryan sitting there alone. "I'm sorry, I didn't see you," I said after I recovered from the startle. "No worries," he assured. "I couldn't take it inside anymore." "Me neither. I wanted to sit down, but I couldn't make myself move. Ryan had always been the boy I wanted, but knew I couldn't have. Do you want to sit down or something?" "Yes," I answered too quickly, then sat down on the bench. We sat in awkward silence for a few minutes, and I opted to look at the stars instead of staring at him like an idiot. "So I hear you got a scholarship to Alabama." "Yeah," I nodded. "Band school, or band scholarship." "I'm going there too. Dad threatened to disown me if I went to Auburn instead. He's an alumni." I laughed and tried not to say something stupid. Last thing I needed was for him to think I was a dork, especially if we were going to be in band together for another 4 years in Tuscaloosa. We talked for maybe an hour about random teenage things before my friend, Carolyn, before Carolyn found us. She was my ride and it was time to go home. Can I text you sometime? Yeah, I smiled. I wrote my cell number on his hand with a pen from my bag and left him there. Before we reached Carolyn's car, my cell phone chimed with a message from Ryan. 2 dates later, I found myself naked and sweaty beneath Ryan's awkward teenage body. I wasn't a virgin, and it didn't seem like that big of a deal at the time. He wanted me. I wanted him. There wasn't a huge love at stake, just two hormonal teenagers. Based on my limited experience, he was pretty good, and we had fun with it. We'd practiced safe sex and did everything right. Yet, somehow, everything went horribly wrong. What does it say? Carolyn impatiently pounded on the door of the bathroom stall. It takes 5 minutes, I shouted, refusing to open the stall door. I gripped the plastic wand in my hand as though my life depended on it. Really, it did. My whole world as I knew it rested on what the flimsy gadget had to say. We'd rush to the girls' restroom after class, anxious to get an answer before we had to get to band practice. To be perfectly honest, I really didn't want the answer. It says, if you're pregnant, Vanessa read the box aloud, that it will have two pink lines. If it's just one, you're not pregnant. Anything yet? Carolyn asked again. No. You'll know when I know. I barked at my friend in misplaced agitation. I wasn't mad at her. I was mad at myself for getting into this situation. I was mad at Ryan for dumping me for a girl in the color guard. Really, he hadn't even dumped me. We weren't really dating. I guess he just stopped calling and texting. He hadn't returned any of my messages, and I caught the hint. It really hadn't bothered me until my period was mysteriously absent. My gaze bore into the little window. Faint pink lines started forming. There were two. How many lines do I want? Just one, the control line. I sighed and shook the stick as if I could make the second one disappear. I was pregnant. Pregnant. Brooke, I opened the door and tossed the test into the sink. My friends both stood frozen in place, unsure what to do. So which one of you is going to throw me a baby shower? I found my mom at the kitchen table that night poring over some textbooks. She decided to go back to school after Daddy left and was getting her degree in nursing. I chuckled to myself on the verge of hysterics when I realized how handy that might be in the future. I certainly didn't know a thing about child illnesses. I couldn't tell a cold from diaper rash. Hey, sweetie, my mom called to me as I came through the door. How was practice? Fine. I threw my backpack onto the floor. She smiled at me, used to my one-word answers by now. I've got a ton of homework tonight. I thought we could order pizza. That sounds good. I've got a lot, too. I slumped down into a chair at the table. My stomach started to churn. I didn't know if it was being pregnant or just having to tell my mom about it. Either way, I figured the quicker the better. Is something wrong, Brooke? I took a deep breath and nodded. Mom tensed up immediately, marking her page and flipping her anatomy book closed. What's wrong? I've done something stupid, Mom. I thought I'd taken care of everything, but somehow I still managed to... My voice trailed off. I wasn't sure if I could say it out loud. You're pregnant, aren't you? To my surprise, her tone wasn't angry or disappointed, just matter of fact. I nodded, my eyes welling with tears. She immediately came behind the table and gave me a big hug. I didn't want to let go. My mom could make everything better. I clung to the hope that maybe she could make this better, too. What am I going to do, Ma? She led me over to the couch and sat me down beside her, her arm still wrapped around my shoulder to hug me tight to her. We sat for a few minutes, not speaking. I think we were both processing everything. I hadn't given myself any time to do that. I'd run from the bathroom to band practice and came straight to the house. Whose is it? Ryan's. She knew our relationship had already come and gone, so there wouldn't be any strained attempt at teenage marriage in my future. The drummer with the big blue eyes? I sniffed. Yes. Well, then, maybe my grandbaby will have those big blue eyes, too. I sat up and looked at her in confusion. Aren't you going to yell at me? She smiled and shook her head. Would yelling at you help? Would grounding you change anything? It's done. You're pregnant. I'd hoped it wouldn't happen this soon. I'd hoped you'd be out of college, married, and ready to start a family, but it doesn't always happen that way. Besides, she said, I'll save the yelling for your father. Didn't I know it? My dad was a lawyer. He'd blow a gasket when he found out. With my luck, he'd try to get Ryan arrested for unlawful impregnation. I don't know how this could have happened. We used protection. I did everything right. You know, kiddo, I've been studying reproduction in my anatomy class. It's a remarkable process. So complicated. It's a wonder anyone ever gets pregnant. The fact that it happened despite everything you did to prevent it, well, that lets me know that maybe it was just meant to be. Great. Me and the miraculous conception. What should I do? What do you want to do? I hadn't a clue. I haven't really thought much about it yet. I just found out today for sure. I mean, I don't feel ready to be a mom. I'm still in high school. I have a scholarship to Alabama. How can I possibly do that with a baby? You can do anything you want to do, Brooke. This has to be your choice. Not mine, not your father's, and not Ryan's. Yours. Whatever you decide, we will make it work. If you want to keep this baby, there's nothing you and I can't deal with. That doesn't mean it will be easy, but we can get through it. I couldn't bear the thought of giving it to someone else, and abortion just wasn't something I could bring myself to do. That left just one option. I knew in my heart that I wanted to keep my baby. I want to keep it, I said the words out loud to assure myself. My mother's gaze ran over my face for a moment, maybe using her super mom powers to read my mind. Satisfied, she nodded. Okay. So now what? I had no idea what I was throwing myself into. We need to call your doctor and get you an appointment. Those sticks aren't 100% reliable, so they'll double-check and get you the information you'll need for the next few months. Once we're sure, she said, then I'll tell your father, and you'll need to tell Ryan. A few days after my doctor's appointment, I found myself hovering beside Ryan's locker. I wasn't expecting much, but I thought he'd at least have the decency to ask how I was doing. But no, he had nothing to say at all. What do you want me to say, Brooke? I immediately went on the defensive. Don't say anything you don't want to, Ryan. I'm just telling you because it's the right thing to do. If you don't want to be a man and step up, You mean you're keeping it? He made it sound as though I was saving a stained, torn t-shirt instead of a baby. Yes, it's not up for negotiation, so I guess you'll be wanting me to get all excited and change diapers and stuff. Okay, if you want to. The only thing you're obligated to do is help support it. How am I supposed to do that? I don't have a job. You'd have to prove it's mine anyway. How am I to know it isn't some other guy's kid that you're passing off on me? Your lawyer will explain all that to you when the time comes. Alabama state law has it all spelled out for you. My dad is an attorney, so he'll make sure all the paperwork is filled appropriately. The bell rang. Ryan slammed his locker door shut and brushed past me without saying another word. He didn't speak to me or make eye contact with me for the rest of our senior year. I was okay with that. If he was going to be a jerk, I didn't need the stress of having him around. I had plenty on my plate already. By the time the end of the school year rolled around, I felt as big as a house. The school offered me the chance to go to night school or test out early, but I didn't want to. I may have been pregnant, but I didn't want to miss out on everything because of it. At graduation, I walked across stage looking like a gigantic blueberry in my cap and gown. I didn't care. I'd finished with honors, despite having to miss class for doctor's appointments and morning sickness. 2 weeks later, my mom graduated from nursing school. She accepted an offer from the hospital in Tuscaloosa near my college campus. Once the baby was born, we were going to pack up and move down there together. That way I could have help and still go to school. In addition to classes, the band scholarship required me to travel with all the football games, and I definitely need her help for that. My baby shower was a blowout. I only invited friends and family that were actually supportive of me, so it was small, maybe 10 or 15 people. But there was none of that teenage pregnancy shame lurking over the party like a dark cloud. It was a lot of fun. To my surprise, Ryan's mother even came and brought me a stroller. I'd sent her an invitation as a courtesy, half expecting it to be returned. She looked a lot like Ryan. She was tall, thin, with big blue eyes and blonde hair swept up into a clip. She looked so young, too young to be a grandmother. I thought I might have seen her at one of the games, but never knew who she was. I was ashamed to admit it was the first time I'd met my child's grandmother. After the party wound down, I went out into our back patio to sit with her on our porch swing. I'm glad you could make it today, Mrs. Samuel. She smiled. Me too. And call me Ann, please. You're about to have my granddaughter. I hate that I've come in on the tail end of everything. Ryan didn't tell us for months, and then when he did, he said he didn't want to talk about it anymore. I didn't even know until today that you were having a baby girl. Ryan knew. I'm sorry he didn't tell you. I sent him a text message when I found out. He didn't respond. Anne nodded. I'm sorry about the way he's acted through all this. I think it took him a long time to work out his feelings about it. I completely understand. So your mom mentioned you're still going to be going to Alabama this fall. Yes, I got a scholarship, and I'm not about to waste it. My mom is moving down with me to help out. Well, maybe when we come down to see Ryan for games, my husband and I could come see the baby. Sure, my mom and I will probably come back up this way a couple times a year to see my dad, so we could stop by then, too. Great, thank you. She paused for a moment. Do you have a name picked out for her yet? I've got it narrowed down to Adrian or Amelia Grace. Grace was my grandmother's name. It had taken me weeks to get this far. Naming a kid was stressful. Trying to pick something that wouldn't get them beat up in school or picked on too badly was daunting. My mother's name was Amelia, Anne said. I may go with that one. I'm leaning that way, at least. I may take one look at her and decide she's a Megan. I was that way with Ryan, she confided. His name was supposed to be Nathaniel. When I held him for the first time, I looked at him and told my husband we had to find another name. He didn't look like a Nathaniel at all. We both laughed, letting the conversation fade into a slightly uncomfortable silence. There were things left to say. I just think we were just too nervous to throw them out there. Ryan told me that you're going to sue him for support. I sighed. I will if I have to. When the baby's born, if he comes down on his own and signs the paternity forms to be on the birth certificate, I'm sure we can work out something between us without all that. He's a college kid. I know you can't get blood from a turnip, but I do need the help. And if he refuses to sign, well, that's when it will get ugly. My father will get a judge to issue a subpoena for him to take a paternity test. If he is the father, he'll be held liable not only for the support, but for the cost of the testing and court fees. If he doesn't show for the subpoena, they'll issue a warrant for his arrest. I don't want to do it that way, but I'll do what I have to for my baby. I understand. Anne seemed as frustrated with her son as I was. What do you think he'll do? Who knows? My son blows hot and cold lately. There are days when I think he might come around and get involved with the baby. I can sense the confusion in him as though he wants to do something, but he isn't sure what. Other days, he's a stone wall. Everyone can go to hell on those days, including me. That was the side I'd gotten all year. Despite all that, I still wanted Ryan and his family to be a part of the baby's life. Well, don't let his attitude keep you from being the grandparents you want to be. Thank you, we won't. Anne eyed her watch and got up from the swing. I'd better get going, but you make sure someone calls us when she gets here. It took a bit more for me to get up from the low swinging seat. I'll make sure my mom calls you. I reached out and gave Anne the best hug I could under the circumstances. She's due mid-June. You can tell Ryan that if you think he cares to know. Boy, those pregnancy books never prepared you for the realities of labor. My modest nature was stomped on by the parade of medical staff that incessantly came in and probed me for one reason or another. In the 12 hours I was in labor, I bet 15 different people got up in my business, and that was even before the actual delivery, when a whole new set of people showed up, taking showers in gym class was nothing compared to this. The pain, wiped away all sense of propriety. By the time I was ready for my epidural, I'd called Ryan 50 different names, although he wasn't there to hear them. My mom was there the whole time. My dad and Ryan's parents would pop in now and then, but the moment my contractions would start up or any hospital staff person came in, they'd make for the safety of the hallway. Amelia Grace arrived on Saturday, June 14th at 4:47 p.m. She was 6 pounds and 9 ounces of beauty. The moment I laid eyes on her, I knew I'd made the right decision. There was no way I could hold her in my arms and give her to someone else. The next morning, they brought Amelia to me just after breakfast. Her well-meaning nurse asked me if her daddy was excited about celebrating his first Father's Day that day. When I told her I wouldn't know, she blushed, apologized, and disappeared through my doorway. Alone with my baby for the first time, I settled her into my arms and rocked her gently. She was asleep before I could get the first chorus of a lullaby out. It was just as well that she slept through today. There would be plenty more Father's Days in the future for her to notice the absence of her daddy. Today, she could just sleep in peace and innocence. There was a gentle rap on my door. I hoped it wasn't the nurse back to apologize again. "Come in," I said, loud enough for them to hear, but quiet enough not to wake the baby. My breath caught in my throat as the door came open and Ryan was standing there. Not only standing there, but holding a teddy bear and a bouquet of balloons, too. His eyes had a nervousness about them as he moved cautiously across the room and set the gifts with the others on a table by the window. I brought those for you and the baby. I still wasn't quite sure what to do or say about him being there. I didn't dare let myself believe it was a breakthrough for him. "Thanks," was all I said. He nodded, noting the strain in my response, and turned his attention to the pink bundle in my arms. "Is that her?" he asked. "No, this one's a loner. Mine's in the nursery." My sarcasm completely caught him off guard. He looked at me like a deer in headlights, his mouth open to speak, but he didn't say anything. That was really uncalled for. He was trying. "I'm sorry," I said. "Yes, this is Amelia." "Amelia." He tried the name out loud. "Amelia what?" "Amelia Grace." I watched him fidget with his hands like he wanted to hold her but was scared to ask. "Do you want to hold her?" Ryan stopped, almost afraid to accept now that the offer was given to him. "If you'll show me how to," he came around to my bedside and held his arms out. "Put one hand under her head and the other under her bottom." I placed our daughter into his slightly shaking hands. He seemed unsteady for a moment, but then he adjusted his balance and the baby settled comfortably in his arms. He slowly lowered himself into the guest chair and spent a few minutes marveling at the beauty of our baby. "She's beautiful, Brooke." "Yes, she is." I beamed with pride. "I think she has your eyes." "Really?" Ryan smiled at me and looked down at Amelia to see for himself. It was the first time he'd smiled at me since I'd gotten pregnant. It's hard to tell when she's sleeping. "My mom said that all of you are moving to Tuscaloosa soon." "Yes, my mom is going to help out while I go to school." "Well, I'm going down there too, you know. Maybe I can visit her and stuff. I mean, I'll be living on campus, so it would be hard for me to keep her overnight or whatever. But I could come see you guys sometimes. Between class and work, it will be hard, but I think work. What about band?" "I've decided I'm not going to go into the band. My dad is an Alabama alumni, so he was able to arrange an on-campus job for me at the bookstore." Ryan looked back down at Amelia, I have to do my part, you know. They said I could set up my check so that half of it automatically goes into your bank account. It was a good thing I was already lying down. So you're going to sign the papers for paternity? Yeah. A wave of relief washed over me. I didn't want to end up on some sleazy talk show over this. He was signing the papers and getting a job to help support our daughter. This was a better outcome than I could have ever imagined. Listen, he continued, I know I've been a jerk. I really just didn't know what to do. I'm sorry it's taken me this long to figure it out. I'm sure I've hurt you in the process. I just hope you can forgive me so we can raise Amelia together as friends. It wasn't a proposal with wine and roses, but it was better than I ever expected. Sure, I said, tears welling in my eyes. And Ryan? Yes. He tore his gaze away from our sleeping daughter. Happy Father's Day. Ryan did stay true to his word. Every 2 weeks, half of his paycheck was deposited into my account to help with Amelia. He came by the house 2 or 3 times a week to play with her, and I was pretty certain the other half of his money was spent on toys and things for our daughter. College was hard for both of us, but we managed. Although I didn't take a full 15-credit load, I took a few summer school classes and managed to finish on time. We graduated together. The photo of the three of us was on my desk, both of us in our gowns, Amelia in my arms wearing her daddy's mortarboard. Okay. Over the years, we'd made an attempt or two at a relationship, but both decided it wasn't the best idea. Instead, we were happy and comfortable with being the best parents we could be for Amelia, and we did that by being friends. Best friends with a baby. Okay, that's the end of my first story for this romance program. If you tuned in late, this is Volunteer Jeannie Ost for the romance program. I thought that was a good story. I hope you enjoyed it. And my next story is from True Confessions magazine. It's called A Country Affair. Here's the story. I watched as Rob Stevens moved his hat. His Palomino mare, Miss Dixie, picked the middle of a hot summer night to foal, and it had been a tough delivery. Thank goodness I'd arrived in time, or we might have lost both mother and daughter. Rob knew a lot about horses, but this delivery had needed the expertise of a veterinarian, and that's me. The thought of losing such beautiful creatures made my stomach queasy, and I took a deep breath. Well, that's done, I said, removing my long gloves and tossing them aside. I reached down and gave Rob's cat a pat on the head. It's been a long night, and I could use some hot coffee, if you have any. Sure, I'll brew you a pot right away. Come on, let's go inside, and you can wash up while I make the coffee. I followed as Rob had led the way into his roomy new ranch house. He'd worked on it all last summer, finishing it just as the mesquite lost their leaves. It was mighty lonely out here in the sparsely populated areas of West Texas. Running cattle and high gas prices kept Rob from going to town much, but he tended to be a loner anyway. I'd been his veterinarian for 2 years and enjoyed his company, but my feelings ran deeper than that, for he'd captured my heart the first time I met him. I'd just started my new practice in a small town in West Texas when my assistant handed me a slip of paper. We have our first client, Doc. It's some guy who lives on a ranch 20 miles out of town. I've written the directions down. Following the highway out as far as I could, I left the pavement and entered an old oil field road. My vehicle bumped and jiggled along until I spied a closed gate surrounded by mesquite and scrub oak. I squinted against the hot sun, trying to read the weather-beaten sign that sagged against a rotting fence post. It read, "To Branding Irons Ranch." Getting out of my SUV, I loosened the funky latch on the gate and swung it open. Sometimes it made me nervous to go out alone because of the stories I read about realtors who were attacked when they went to meet a new client. What would this Rob guy be like? I wondered. Would he be a nice guy or might he pose a danger? No matter, I told myself as I patted the pepper spray in its holder on my belt. If he tried anything, I'd spray him and use my talents as a black belt. A tall, rugged-looking cowpoke, dressed in jeans and a western shirt, came out of the barn as I drove up and parked. He walked towards me, but I couldn't see his face with his hat pulled so low. "Are you Mr. Stevens?" I asked in a professional voice. The man took off his hat and my heart almost stopped. He was drop-dead gorgeous. "Yes, ma'am, I am, but please call me Rob." He held out his right hand and I grasped it. We shook as an electrical jolt shot through me. My hand felt sweaty as I pulled it away. "It's great to meet you, Rob. I'm Dr. O'Reilly, but you can call me Megan. I hear you need some animals vaccinated. Can you show me where they are?" "Sure thing. Follow me, ma'am." Something had touched my hand, disrupting my reverie. "Here you go, Megan. There's cream and sugar on the counter." Back to the present, I concentrated on my coffee. I took a sip and almost spilled it when I saw the look on Rob's face. His gaze was intense. "Thank you for saving my girls," he said softly with his Texas drawl. "I don't know what I'd have done if I lost Miss Dixie and her foal. Do you like the name Valeda? I think it means strong in Latin. It seems a fitting name for the little one after what she and her mother have gone through." My eyebrows went up in surprise. "You speak Latin?" "I took a few classes in college." Rob laughed. "I can see you're shocked that someone like me would know Latin." "I'm sorry, it's just that you took me by surprise. I'm impressed. You're the only person I know who can speak Latin, besides my old parish priest, that is." "Do you mean old Father Mike?" "Yes, how do you know?" "He's a friend of mine. How's the coffee?" he asked, changing the subject. I finished the coffee and held out my cup as Rob poured me some more. "Thanks. I sure appreciate your driving all the way out here on such a hot night. The thermometer yesterday showed that it got up to 100. The weather forecaster says it'll be hotter today. It's nothing unusual for West Texas." I winced, dreading the thought of the additional heat, but at least it was dry, unlike the hot summers of the Texas coast, where the humidity was so high you could barely breathe. Setting my coffee mug down, I stood up and tried to straighten out my wrinkled and filthy shirt. "I'd better get back to town and try to catch an hour or two of sleep. It's going to be a long day with all my appointments." "I hear you. Just a minute, and I'll cut you a check." "Oh, no, don't worry about it. Sally will send you a bill next week." He watched me drive away just as the sun was coming up. It's always been my favorite time of the day, that and the sunset They're both quiet, peaceful times of great beauty that speak to my soul. Back at home, I called the office and told Sally I'd be running late and to reschedule a few of my appointments for later on in the week. I stripped off my dirty clothing, put on my old bathrobe, and got into my bed. I closed my eyes, but sleep wouldn't come right away. I chided myself for drinking so much coffee. Finally, I nodded off, but visions of Rob danced in my head, like an old movie playing over and over. Each time Rob appeared without a shirt and skin-tight jeans, which left little to the imagination. Thinking of Rob like that would have embarrassed me when I was awake, but in my dreams I enjoyed seeing him half naked. My alarm went off and I struggled to open my eyes. My body felt sticky and covered in sweat. Was it the dream or the temperature? I crawled off the bed, tossing the bathrobe aside, and jumped in the shower, setting it on cold. I needed to wake up. It wasn't right to keep my patients waiting. I stood in front of the mirror a moment, looking at the circles under my eyes, and then I laughed. If this kept up, I might have to ask Dr. Sloan for something to help me sleep. Either that, or I'd have to invest in a case of toothpicks to hold my eyes open. The next few days I spent battling the heat and trying to catch up at work. I needed to get back out to Rob's place and check on his horses, but wasn't able to until late on Friday afternoon. I sent Sally home early. "Go on, get out of here and have a great weekend," I told her. She grinned at me. "Thanks, Doc. I know you're anxious to see Rob again." Rob had come to the office a couple of times, and Sally thought he was quite a catch. Sally enjoyed teasing me about him. "You've got yourself a real hunk, boss," she'd say with a giggle. "If you ever tire of him, you can throw him my way." "He doesn't belong to me, Sally." "Not yet," she laughed. I approached Rob's ranch in a cloud of dust that he must have been coming a mile away. He must have seen coming a mile away. I'd forgotten to call and tell him I was coming, and my cell phone was on the desk in my office. I prayed he was home. I pulled up in front of Rob's barn, honked my horn, and shut the motor off. A few anxious moments later, I saw the door to the house open. Rob stepped outside and waved. "Come on into the house, Megan. You can check on the horses after you've had some lemonade." My heart raced as I walked towards the house. "Howdy," he said with a smile. "It's good to see you, Miss Megan. I called your office earlier but got the answering service. Oh, I closed up early today. If you don't mind me saying it, you should do that more often. A body needs to rest once in a while." His deep, sexy voice sent shivers up and down my spine, and I thrilled at his touch as he handed me a glass of icy cold lemonade. "Thanks," I said. Did you make this yourself? It's the best lemonade I've ever had." "I hoped you'd be out today, so I made a pitcher this morning. Drink all you want. I have a pile of lemons. One of my friends in the border patrol dropped by, and he brought me a whole crate of them." 2 glasses of lemonade later, Rob accompanied me to the barn to check on the horses. Mother and daughter were doing fine. I wondered what excuse I could make to stay longer, but decided I should leave and get on home. "Thanks for checking on the horses, Megan. As a thank you, I'd like to take you to dinner." "Oh, that's not necessary, Rob. I'm just doing my job." I felt like kicking myself as soon as I said that, but I couldn't take it back. It didn't matter, though, because he insisted. Rob drove us to dinner in his truck. The drive to town seemed shorter than usual, probably because I was enjoying every second with Rob. We had dinner at a little Mexican restaurant. He ordered fajitas, and I ordered my favorite cheese enchiladas. I felt starved and loaded up on the chips and salsa while we waited for dinner. "Thanks for dinner," I said as we sipped our coffee. "Next time it will be my treat." My face felt warm. Why did I say that? How do I know there will be a next time? Rob chuckled. "All right, ma'am. I'll hold you to it." After we finished our coffee, we started back to the ranch. I should have brought my rig. "Why?" he asked. "I still have to drive home anyway. Besides, I'm not ready for you to leave yet." Was I dreaming? Did Rob just say he wanted me to stay for a while longer? Rob stopped in front of his house and told me to wait. He'd been opening doors for me since we left the ranch, and I enjoyed the attention. "Look at the sky," he pointed as he opened my door. "Can you feel it?" "Feel what?" "There's a sandstorm coming. Go on in the house. I'm going to make sure the animals are okay. Will you do me a favor and make sure all the doors and windows are shut tight? Help yourself to some more lemonade, or if you'd prefer, there's some sweet tea in the fridge, too." "I'm coming with you. The sooner we get the animals squared away, the sooner we can be back inside." A sandstorm is one of nature's unpleasant surprises. One minute it'll seem like the wind's kicking up, and the next there's so much sand in the air you can't see and it's hard to breathe. It's not an enjoyable experience, to say the least. Being caught outside in one can also be dangerous. After making sure the animals were okay, Rob and I returned to the house and busied ourselves shutting doors and windows against the onslaught of the storm. The storm hit and the wind blew harder, howling and wailing against the house as it blew sand everywhere. Rob and I stood by the living room window watching the swirling air outside. It was so thick with sand that we couldn't see the barn. I've read that these storms are much worse in other parts of the world. Rob gave a dry chuckle. "Ours are nothing to sneeze at. I've seen the storms so bad they covered the highways, sort of like in winter with a whiteout. It's no fun to try and drive in conditions like that." I shivered. "It sounds awful." "I'm glad you're here," he said quietly. He stood behind me, placing his hands on my shoulders and gently kneading. "You need to relax. I can see how tense you are." "Don't stop," I pleaded. Did my voice sound breathless? "I've never told you before, but I sure enjoy your company, Megan. I'd have asked you to dinner sooner, but I was afraid you'd turn me down. A woman like you must have plenty of men trying to date her." Rob's confession left me speechless. I stood there desperately trying to think of the right words to say. I didn't want to alert him to my feelings for him, at least not yet. I'd been hurt in the past from being too honest in the beginning of relationships, and I'd learned to move forward cautiously. The one thing I didn't want to do was scare Rob off. It would break my heart if I blew my chances with him by being too eager. Despite how far women have come, most men still like to feel they're in some measure of control. Most of them will bolt at any excuse. "I'm mighty fond of you, Doc." I turned and looked up at him. He smiled and took a lock of my hair and began to twirl it lightly with his fingers. "You have such beautiful red hair. I've always liked redheads, but you're the best-looking gal I've ever seen." The pounding in my ears got louder. I like you too, cowboy. My resolve to go slowly evaporated. I had to stand on tiptoe to reach his big, broad shoulders, but I succeeded in putting my arms around him. "Kiss me," I demanded, breathing hard. Rob's eyes grew larger, and he smiled. "Yes, ma'am." Our kisses set me on fire, and I could think of nothing other than how much I wanted him. He must have felt that way, too, because Rob scooped me up in his arms and carried me upstairs to his bedroom. I kept praying he couldn't hear the thundering of my heartbeat. He set me on the bed, and we shed our clothing in record time. Rob groaned when he saw my naked body and pulled me down on the bed with him. He kissed my eyes, lips, and throat. Lost in the heat of passion, it surprised me when Rob stopped suddenly and pulled back. "I can't do it, Megan. I'm sorry." I started to panic. "What's wrong? Did I do something? Did I say something?" "No, you're perfect in every way, darling." "But why?" Rob put his fingers to my lips. "Come on, let's put our clothes back on." We dressed quickly, and then Rob took my hand and led me back downstairs. He sat next to me on the couch and continued holding my hand. "I want to apologize for my behavior, Megan." "Huh?" I managed to say. Part of me wanted to scream and cry and ask him why he hadn't made love to me, but instead I sat there waiting to hear what else he had to say. Was he going to dump me? "My folks raised me to be a gentleman, Megan. It's not right to lie with a woman unless you're properly wed." "You're kidding, right?" "No, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I'm going to ask you something, and I hope you'll say yes." My heart beat like a hammer in my chest. At this rate, I wouldn't last the night. "Ask away," I said bravely. "Will you do me the honor of becoming my wife?" I hope I didn't scream the yes. I don't remember much, but I do recall Rob giving me a quick peck on the lips. "If I start kissing you again, Megan, I won't be able to stop." As soon as the storm was over, Rob and I drove to town in his truck and got a special license. "You don't mind having a judge marry us, do you?" Rob asked. "I figure we can have the good padre marry us later with the full blessings of the church." "Do you mean Father Mike?" Rob laughed. "The one and only. That works for me." A short while later, we stood before the local justice of the peace. I now pronounce that you are husband and wife. After we finished kissing, we started out the door, and I almost stumbled when I looked down and saw a beautiful diamond ring on my finger. I vaguely remembered Rob telling me the ring had belonged to his mother. I pinched myself hard to see if I was dreaming. "Ouch!" "Careful now," my new husband said as he held on to me. "We don't want you in a cast, especially not on our wedding night. Is something wrong, honey?" I laughed. "Nothing's wrong, but this all seems like I've entered a parallel universe." "Just wait till we get home and we get back to finishing what we started earlier. I'll prove to you how real it is." "I can't wait. Come on," I said, hurrying him outside to the truck. "Thank you, Cheryl. I owe you one," Rob yelled as I pushed him out the door. We jumped in the truck and roared back down the highway to the ranch. It had been a wild night, one that changed my life happily and forever. I have my sexy and loving cowhand, a ranch, horses, cattle, and an old barn cat. What more could a woman want? Okay, that's the end of the story. That's going to do it for this edition of the Romance Program. As always, thanks so much for listening to me. I'll talk to you next week. This has been Volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. Bye-bye.